It's good to see each and every one of you here today. Have you been blessed so far? Amen. I pray that the Lord has touched you. And if he has, may he touch you again. If he has not, may he touch you now. Will you bow your heads with me as we approach the throne of grace this morning? Gracious Heavenly Father, today we want to hear from you. Today, Lord Jesus, we want to be changed. So we got up this morning. We put on our best. And we've come before the God of the universe. And we come, Lord, expectantly. We come, Lord, because you're a God of miracles. And you're a God who hears. So help us, Lord, to listen as you speak now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is one of the most frustrating events that happens in day-to-day life. You call someone on your cell phone, they pick up, and then as you're starting to have a conversation, they start cutting in and out, or you start cutting in and out. You end up like a commercial on TV. Hello? Can you hear me? You try moving over here. Can you hear me now? You walk outside. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to have a conversation and not being able to. I actually had to get a new cell phone this summer because I had too many conversations like that with church members. We can't hear you, Pastor. So I had to get a new cell. It's frustrating when you feel like you're not being heard. Have you ever felt like that with your prayers to God? Have you felt like something must be cutting in and out because the message is not getting through? Well, this happened years ago to our conference youth director, Travis Sager. Travis was playing Little League, and his team had made it to the championship. They were playing there in Des Moines, Iowa. It was the bottom of the ninth, and Travis's team was behind by one run. They had a runner on second, but they had two outs. So one more out and the game would be over. And Travis was on deck, which means that his teammate who was batting ahead of him would have to get on base somehow in order for Travis to have a chance to hit. So as Travis watched his friend at bat, he started to pray. And he said, "I never prayed to win the game, but I prayed, Lord, please, just give me a chance. Please just give me a chance to hit in this inning." And then he watched as his friend swung and missed on strike three. And after three strikes in baseball, you're out. That's the ball game. Game over. Travis's team lost. That night, Travis was in his room. And he was angry about the loss. But more than that, he was upset that God did not even give him the chance to hit. He cried out to God and said, "Why? This doesn't make sense. Lord, I just asked for a chance." It felt like to him that God didn't hear him. Or if God did hear, he said no for no good reason. Have you ever felt like that in your prayer life? Have you struggled with unanswered prayers from God? I mean, after all, when we started this sermon on prayer, our first week, we read from James chapter 4, verse 2, where the Bible says you do not have because you do not ask. And we encouraged ourselves to pray. And then we also read from 1 John chapter 5, verse 15, where it says, "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So ask, and it will be given." So today, how do we understand, how do we come to grips with unanswered prayers? Well, my friends, this is a struggle that's not just for today. This stretches all the way back to Bible times. So let's listen this morning to a very famous Bible character who was dealing with unanswered prayer. If you have your Bible with me, I'd encourage you to open it up to our scripture reading for today, Psalm 142. If you've got the hard copy, flip through the pages. I love to hear that sound of pages flipping. And if you've got the electronic copy, click that on too. Someone should create an app that makes a page flipping sound even on the phone, just for pastor's sake. Someday, we'll all have it on electronically, I guess. Turn with me to 142 and listen to this amazing psalm. This is a psalm of David. Verse 1, I cried out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path, in the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look at my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. In this psalm, David is crying out to God. Have you ever felt like he does right here? He's asking God, where are you? Can you even hear me? What is going on? Lord, help. Why is David so upset? Well, if you look in your Bible, if you have a header to the psalm, sometimes a Bible will have a little tagline to what the psalm is about. It will tell you that this comes from a time when David was living in a cave. Now, he'd been out in the fields with sheep. He'd been in the palace. But when he writes this psalm, he's living in a cave. So let's go back in the Bible a little bit and let's try to figure out how this story got to this point. If you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel now, chapter 16. You'll go back to 1 Samuel 16. That is right after Joshua and Judges. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And here is a story where we find David, a young boy. So young that they don't even bring him in from the field when the prophet comes. They eventually go pull him from the field. And the prophet Samuel anoints David to be king in verse 13. After that, in chapter 17, we find David with some amazing battles and victories in the Bible when he topples a giant. And then look at 1 Samuel chapter 18 with me. Look at verse 7. Watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 7 says, so the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens thousands. So there's actually songs being made up about David. He is a number one hit on the radio, if they had radio back in those times. He's the talk of all the talk show circuits in Israel. David is all over Twitter, or at least what they had back then in the Bible. Everyone is talking about him. Women are singing about David. So life's going pretty good, amen? That's right. David is faithful, and he's following God. Now, friends, when we're faithful and following God, it stands to reason that life should be good, right? Everything should work out. But does David's life stay on this upswing? No, it doesn't. You're right, Daniel. David ends up with a new gig in chapter 18. Starting in verse 10, says, so David played music with his hand, as he had at times before, but there was a spear in King Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped from his presence twice. It didn't just happen once. Apparently, Saul was a music critic. He was distressed, and so he brings David in to play. David plays, and after a time, because he heard that song, David has killed his 10,000, me, only my thousands. So it starts off not a bad gig, you know, singing in the palace, that's pretty nice. But then, in time, he has to dodge a few spears that are thrown at him by his boss, the king. You thought you had a hazardous work environment. And then it continues in chapter 19, verse 11. It says, Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And David's wife told him, saying, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. So his wife let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. David ends up on the run for his very life with the king chasing his heels. And this is where we find David. Out of the palace, no more harp in his hand. Now he's living in a cave. And this is where we hear his cry in Psalm 142. And he says, God, can you hear me? What are you doing? I was anointed to be king. It wasn't supposed to be like this. David, as well as others in the Bible, others of God's people, had to learn to deal with what seemed to be unanswered prayer. Have you had to deal with that too? Well, my friends, there are some things that will cause a prayer to seem to go unanswered. But the reality is, God does answer every prayer. Do you believe that? He does. He answers every prayer that he receives. Sometimes God says, yes. And we praise the Lord when he says yes. Amen? But not always does he say yes. Sometimes God says, wait. Sometimes God says, wait. Sometimes it's not the right time. So we keep on praying. And sometimes God does answer, but instead of yes and instead of wait, he says what? He says no. Now, what makes the difference? Let's look this morning. Let's see why God answers the way he does. What gets in the way of our prayers? Why are some of them unanswered? Well, do you think God's the problem? Is that why our prayers don't get answered? Or is it maybe me? Maybe I'm the problem. Well, Pastor Bill Hybels identified some roadblocks to prayer that are in the Bible, and he wrote them down in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray. When praying about something, ask yourself this question. If God answers this prayer, will he receive the glory or will I? That makes a big difference, friends. What is my motive that's behind my prayer? Because our motives can roadblock our prayer life. James chapter 4, verse 3 puts it this way. You ask and do not receive. Why? I want to know why. Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. So sometimes it's my motive that gets in the way of prayer. So you have to ask that, Lord, is this in accordance with your will? And if it is, and our motives are pure, is there anything else that can roadblock our prayer? Yeah, there are. There is the lack of persistence. Now, for you young ones, persistence is a fancy word. But you little guys know persistence. You've already learned it. I'll give you an example. Mom, 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 mom. You know how to be persistent, boys and girls. And the Bible tells us we need to be persistent with God. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says what? Keep on praying. It doesn't say pray once and that's it. But how many of us do that? Do we give up on prayer too soon? Well, I prayed, that's done. Now I better just roll up my sleeves and get to work. Don't give up on praying. Moms, dads, grandparents out there, do you have wayward family members? Don't give up on praying. I can tell you, I put a lot of gray hairs on my mom and dad's head. But I praise God that they kept on praying for me. So don't give up on praying for your family members. There's another roadblock that can get in the way of your prayers. Cherished sin. Cherished sin. If we look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, the prophet says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that what? He will not hear." Now, my friends, this isn't talking about just mistakes that we make. We all make mistakes every day. We fail every day. But Isaiah is talking about a cherished sin. Sin that we won't let go of. Sin that we won't confess. And this will short-circuit your prayer life. So, friends, if you're holding on to some sin, then your first prayer to God needs to be a prayer of confession and let it go. Other roadblocks to prayer this morning? Broken relationships can get in the way of your prayer life. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. He says, if you're here getting ready to give your tithe and your offering, and you remember you got a problem with somebody, he says, don't give. Now, I know that can terrify a church treasurer right there. When he says, don't give, you just leave it there. What's he say? Verse 24, leave your gift there. First go and be reconciled to them before you give. Do you feel like God is not hearing or answering your prayers? Well, friends, could it be that you have a conflict with someone that needs fixing first? You see, friends, the lack of forgiveness is perhaps the greatest plague on Christians today. It robs us of the power of prayer. It gets in the way. According to Jesus, there shouldn't be 40-year feuds in the church. And there are sometimes. I don't even remember what they're fighting about, but they're fighting. Sit on different sides. Heaven forbid they have to walk past each other in the halls. What happens when we have to walk past each other in heaven? Friends, with God's help, forgive or ask for forgiveness. And I believe that this issue is so great that the next two Sabbaths we're going to have a mini sermon series on forgiveness. Pastor Andy and myself are both going to try to tackle this subject. Because it's not easy to forgive, is it? If it were, there wouldn't have to be all the verses in the Bible telling us to forgive. There's no verses in there that says, keep on breathing. You know, you should eat. God doesn't tell us those things because we do them naturally. But those things that come hard, he tells us over and over again, you need to forgive. One last prayer roadblock this morning that I want to talk to you about that can get in the way of your prayer being answered is lack of trust. Listen to James chapter 1. If you turn with me there, I want you to see this with your hands and your eyes. Go to the back of your Bibles. James is a book that we'll hide from you sometimes. It is after the book of Hebrews. Tiny book, but a good book to read. James chapter 1 is where we're going. And we're going to start in verse 6. James chapter 1, starting in verse 6, and it says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Our doubts can prevent our prayers from being answered. Do we pray expecting God to actually do something? Do we pray expecting God to do something big? Or do we just kind of take tiny prayers to God, not trusting that he's really going to do anything? You say, but Pastor, how do we learn to trust God with the big issues in life? Well, I love the one father's prayer in the Bible where he says, I do believe, but help my unbelief. That's probably one of the most honest statements in the whole book from a human. You say, Pastor, how do we learn to trust God on the big issues? Well, the same way you learn to trust people in your life. How do you learn which people will stick with you through hard times? That's how you learn to trust them, is when the hard times come. Because at times in life, when things get rough, there are some people who will walk away. And there are others who will stand right by your side, come what may. So when you go through hard times in life, it's not that God has left you, it's that he's wanting you to start looking up and to realize he's still there on the throne. He's wanting you to start looking to your side and realizing that he's right there by you and he will not leave you. You can trust him. My friends, do you want a stronger prayer life this morning? Wow, and the congregation was silent. Do you want a stronger prayer life this morning?
Yes.
All right. Do you want more powers in your prayers?
Yes.
Do you want your prayers to be answered?
Yes.
Well, then let's take a look at our lives. And let's look for these prayer roadblocks that God needs to tear down. Because no matter what roadblock we may have that you think is too strong for you, it is not too strong for God. Years after losing that Little League championship game, Travis was all grown up, and he found himself back in Iowa, and he was visiting with a gentleman. They began talking about baseball and playing in Little League. The man said to Travis, hey, your last name is Sager, right? Yeah. Do you remember playing in a championship game where you were on deck in the ninth inning? Do you remember that game? Yeah, I remember that game. This man told Travis, well, I was on the other team. And in the ninth inning, I started praying. And I'm a good Catholic boy. And I was praying that you would not get a chance to hit in that last inning. So yeah, now we have a Catholic boy and an Adventist boy, both praying to God for different results. And God answered the Catholic boy. Travis never got a chance to hit. That man continued and he said, you see, you were on fire in that game. You already had two hits. And I knew if you got up to hit that you would cause us to lose that game. So I prayed hard, asking God to not give you a chance. Really? Said Travis. Yeah. You see, my dad was at that game. And he was a hard man. He was terribly abusive. And I knew what he would do to me when we got home if we lost that game. He would have been so angry. I hate to think what he would have done to me. Travis didn't see everything that God saw. He didn't know everything that God knew. He thought after losing that game, God, why didn't you hear me? Why didn't you just give me a chance? But God knew what would happen, both in the game and after the game. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes true love has to say no, because God knows more than we do. My friends, God does hear us, even when we think he doesn't. and he answers. But he answers being equipped with infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge. So the questions that we face today are these. Will we trust God even if he says no? Will we keep on praying even when he says wait? Will we hang on even when heaven appears silent? Will we still believe even when we don't see the whole big picture? And will we trust that Jesus does hear us? Will we trust him that he knows what he's doing? And my friends, like David in the cave, let's keep on trusting and let's wait on the Lord. Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much that we can come before you each and every time and the call is never lost. We never cut out. We don't go to an answering machine or voicemail. Lord, we thank you that you hear us always. And the Bible even tells us that you take our prayers as muddled up and messed up as they are, and the Holy Spirit prays them eloquently before the throne. So, Lord, thank you for helping us with our prayer life. And help us to never give up on praying, Lord. It's the greatest power that we have. And you've taught us to pray. You've told us to pray. Help us to find those things in our lives that may be preventing us from having a true walk with you and may be preventing us from trusting you. And then, Lord, once we discover what that roadblock is, may we lay it before your feet so you can tear it down and we can be with you again. So bless us this time, Lord, and help us to listen as we talk to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.